This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Their durability of materials gets tested. They open and close the doors, the latches, the shades tens of thousands of times to ensure they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass, which is very cool. Zero interest up to 36 months. Certain restrictions apply. Ends October 31st. Get started today at PellaWI.com. Ben and Deanna Malcourt, got to keep you hanging out just a little bit more to talk about a great charity thing you guys are involved in.
Yeah, well, just one of hopefully many soon, but we are doing, we're a Toys for Tots drop-off. So right in our office and in Green Bay, right on the corner of Broadway and Walnut, you know, new toys for Christmas, you know, I
think unwrapped.
Unwrapped. Unwrapped toys. So we just started. We got our first donation yesterday. So we're super excited about it. And we hope that just starts.
That is so cool. The generosity of people, because we all miss our kids, right? Yep. So now we can go through the toy section at whatever Fleet Farm, wherever you shop, and pick up two or three toys. And just unwrapped is key, because sometimes people want to do your work for you. Well, you can't really give it to the right kid unless it's unwrapped. So that's important, but. It's just cool that, you know, in a few weeks when we take a picture in front of your office, all the toys there, it's so colorful. Yeah. And, you know, the packaging, of course, they do that for the kids. But it's just, this is a great event. And there are, you know, you guys know this, and as do I, probably better than a lot of people. There's people who really, really want to do something for their kids, and they really, really can't.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. So it's such a wonderful thing that, you know, our community and so many other communities do.
Right.
You know, but it's something really special, and it makes their Christmas different than it would
have
been.
God. And those, again, the color of these toys, and, you know, people, everybody wants a truck, right? We did 50 years ago. They want it today.
Yes,
you know,
still,
I mean, they just do dolls. So tell me, where we just go in the back then? How do we, I think people are going to lean into this. I think this is going to be a good thing.
Yeah, our office is always open 9 to 4, sometimes longer than that, but 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. Just drop it off. We've got a box right in our lobby.
All right, so, right on the corner on Broadway and Walnut Street. Yeah. And easy to get in, easy to get out, and what a great thing you're doing.
And
for
they
the
did
community.
Leave some things. We've got some little, I think there's like pencils, there's some little bags, so you can grab something for yourself or your kids too, just as a little thank you.
It's awesome. That's cool. Guys do for the community. I just want to say one thing. I want to find the one realtor who's actually in the office at 4 o'clock in an afternoon.
It's sometimes just our admin.
You know, let's be honest.
I called a friend of mine in real estate, and it was a lot of times you like try to get the paperwork done Friday afternoon, and I called him up. I said, and it was like 4 o'clock. I said, "What are you doing, man?" He goes, "Hey, what every realtor's doing." I'm like, "You don't sound drunk."
Oh, you're on the golf course.
And he was doing paperwork.
I've been with realtors that literally they use the golf cart to write on your settings, and then they take a picture of it and scan it in.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
a lot of paperwork.
One of our agents, when she was in labor, she was writing an offer on her. You don't want to turn business away.
Don't. And you know what? They always say, if you're in the office, you ain't doing business.
That's right.
Yeah. Get out of
this kind of this business. You got to be out and about and be a part of your community.
Ben and Deanna, thank you for what you do for the community. I know you guys are phenomenal realtors, but you guys are so invested in the community. Right smack. You couldn't get more smack downtown Green Bay. I think it's awesome what you guys do.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Are you excited for the public market, by the way, coming?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's within walking distance.
It's nice.
We have Brian Johnson coming on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who obviously is the face of that.
I used to work there. My real estate office was in there.
Oh, that's right.
Where I worked in that building. Yeah. I love that building.
Yeah. Didn't you do a show out of there,
too? We did a TV show out of there for 2 years.
Wow. Right. So we're hoping it's more successful than that.
A lot more. All right, get out of here.
Is our time up now?
Don't laugh at his jokes. Ben and Deanna Malcourt, folks. Bay Area Realty, check it out. I guarantee you'll be happy with them. Guaranteed.
Toys.
Thank you.
And and the drop-off, one more time.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Toys for Tots. Yep, yep.
I love
that. Drop-off, an unwrapped toy. You know, look for the sales. Like, they're all coming now.
Absolutely.
You know, Christmas shopping starts early.
Absolutely. Right. Is that crazy? I was in Kohl's the other day. Everything is. You know how much I spent for 7 t-shirts? $42. 6 t-shirts. $42. Hanes t-shirts. Don't even get me started.
Did you have Kohl's cash?
No. I got 20% off, though, when I checked out. So I'm going to use that. All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Let's bring in your guy, Jim. This is your protege.
Hey, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Thanks. How you doing? Jim Schmidt. Nice to meet you. And I've met, you know, of course, Ryan, my man's been in here a number of times, but JJ, welcome. We're glad you're here. Tell us a little bit about you. Go ahead.
Cozy yourself. Put the headphones on and cozy yourself up to the microphone, brother.
All right. I'm back in the studio.
There you go.
There you are. Back in the studio. You are a local musician. You are the owner of, what is it, Over the East Studios?
Over East Studios.
Over East Studios.
Yeah, correct.
That's great. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Kind of started around COVID. I had, you know, obviously everybody was kind of like losing their jobs and stuff like that. And I found a way to, you know, make an income for myself. Obviously make my own music. So I started recording myself. I got my first space on West Mason. And then it was actually not called Over East Studios at first. Didn't even have a name. And then I moved into the Bellin building. And I was on the sixth floor. I could overlook the east side. That's where I got the name Over East.
I've always wanted to go up on top of the Bellin building. I've never done it. That's cool that you got that.
Yeah, for sure. It's beautiful.
And you've put out some pretty good work thus far. I mean, I've seen some of it. But tell us a little bit about the video versus the music, the whole mixing thing.
So, I mean, like I said, I'm self-taught with a lot of things.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm grateful for that because it, you know, taught me a lot of things. Just, you know, a lot of forgetting things and learning, finding new ways to learn stuff. But yeah, it's just, it's been a process. It's been a lot of trials and tribulations.
Your dad was a DJ?
My friend's dad. How I got into music. Yeah.
And experience is the best teacher. It just is. And you've learned that. You got a great marketing guy here. How you doing, Ryan?
Yep. Hi, Ryan.
Hey.
So I gotta ask you, Ryan, I'm gonna put you on the spot. What grade did this guy give you for your final grade?
I think it was an A.
You got an A.
Ryan, it was an A. I didn't sleep that. No, you deserved it. But you had to catch up because you weren't doing too good in the beginning, remember?
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, Ryan's a marketing student at NWTC, a student of mine. And you guys are working together because marketing's the business of the business. I tell students that all the time. I mean, everybody talks, I got this great product. You know, it's sitting in the garage too. You know, you got to.
If nobody knows about it.
Right.
You got to put it out.
And you got to look at different ways, packaging it and promoting it. How are things going in our, I mean, you're in Green Bay, which isn't the mecca of music production.
Yeah. It's not, you know, a big market. It's kind of, you feel like the Bucks, you know, it's a small market town for this type of thing. But you know, it takes like just kind of leaving the city sometimes and gaining some knowledge and then bringing it back home. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Did you, are you born and raised here? Or did you leave?
Okay. Yeah, born and raised. I kind of moved around a little bit when I was young, kind of went to Michigan a couple times, but.
Where in Michigan?
Escanaba. I was up north.
You're an Eskimo.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Backwards.
How did you like Escanaba?
Man, I was in the middle of nowhere.
You were in the middle of no place. But I will tell you this. In the UP, it's so desolate that we considered Escanaba like a big city.
Yeah.
Where I'm from. That was like, ooh, we're going to the state fair in Escanaba.
JJ, what do you like? What's your wheelhouse? What's your niche? Is it bringing the music and aligning it with the video? Or tell me a little bit more about your business.
I feel like it's a lot of like versatility within the type of music I make. So it's, you know, like with recording myself, I can do, you know, pull out whatever. I can do some R&B, do some rap. You know, all types of stuff. So, and then mixing that with just being here, small town, you got to be creative, do a lot of different things in order to put it out in a creative way.
I like when I watch your videos and I see the city.
Yeah, for sure. I got to show where I'm at, right?
I mean, right. That's cool. You know, the city deck and things. Ryan, how are you helping this guy market his product?
Yeah, he does a great job.
He does.
I kind of get him in different shows.
Right. Exposure.
Yeah, exposure. I like to show everybody like kind of what he does.
And is that something that we have here in our Green Bay community? I mean, you do your genre is a little bit more rap, and which, you know, it's not polka, but it's something that I think people will appreciate if they're exposed to it. Do we have venues for that?
I think he's performed at the Epic a couple times.
Oh, that
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, my most recent show was opening up for Yin Yang Twins at the Epic Event Center, September 20th.
So, that had to be cool.
Yeah, it was packed, man. It was a good turnout, you know, different crowd, too. It was different from the previous shows I've been at, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Older crowd, so.
And then, Ryan, you're doing some stuff down Oshkosh, Appleton, Green Bay. Just talk about a couple of those smaller. Are they receptive to this?
Appleton, for sure. I have never been to Oshkosh and those shows, but okay. Appleton, for sure.
Appleton is leaning into music big time, and they are. I mean, but they're a competitor. I don't know, I shouldn't say they're a competitor. It's really one of those,
like a all collaboration. Tides.
Exactly, that's what it is, they're a collaboration.
Yeah, a lot of people bring artists in, and, you know, we do our thing. So
yeah. And how do we find out more about you and where we can see you and buy your music?
I'm everywhere. I'm on all platforms, JAY. On all platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. You can find me on Instagram, Guapo Cambridge, GUAPOCAMBRIDGE.
All right, we'll put that on there.
Yeah, for sure.
Ryan, does this guy have swag? You got the shirts? Good, man. I told you you had to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, exposure is such a big thing with music, and you get one person, and they tell people, and, you know, it's that whole, you know.
Yeah. It's all about marketing, man. That's what, you know, I like about this guy right here, so. You know, I got the album too as well. I got a shirt right here.
You got an album out?
Yeah, don't believe the internet. You know, can't believe everything.
Tell us about your album.
Man, it's like a big story about just kind of like my life growing up, coming up. Kind of put a lot of stories into one, and it's just it's about how I was feeling around those times when I make my music. Just
I gotta think though. I mean, if let's say I wanted to be an aspiring country singer, I wouldn't go to Austin, Texas, because there's so many of them. It's mind-boggling, or Nashville, or whatever. But I would imagine you coming here, it's kind of fertile territory, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's not too many people that are actually consistent and passionate about it. So that definitely helps me stand out with just, okay, this guy like means business. You know what I mean?
So, right.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I reached out to Ryan on JJ was because I saw one of his videos. And he was talking about how nobody thinks of Green Bay as a place to record or get into music and all that. And yet, yeah, it is. There are places you can do that, and there's people you can work with.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think it's cool.
We don't have a music role, but we have you.
Yeah.
So you will do other artists and match it with some video, or you will? Okay.
Yeah, so I don't do as much as the video stuff, but I'm all the way engineer. So audio engineer.
For the music.
Yeah,
all right, so you'll put some backup to it and make it sound even better.
From tracking to mixing.
That's awesome you're doing that. You're doing that right here downtown Green Bay.
Is this his stuff?
Yeah.
It's Wallow right here. It's off my album, Don't Bleed It In It. Hottest single out right now, Wallow. Fought on people that was calling me out. You see how
far I came, and now they proud of me now. Everybody know my name. Can you make these two sound good if I brought them in your studio?
Can I do could, of course. I could.
Of course.
Yeah, you know how you have to do? Hit the mute button.
I'm the short white version of Sly from Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay.
Left a good job in the city. I'm telling you.
I can get you right.
We could do something.
Quick break.
Quick challenge.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I can see it with my eyes closed. AK-47 singing high notes. I know God with me, yeah, I know. I'm just trying to preach the game like I'm Wallow.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here. We got a very talented local musician, JJ, from East Studios. And we've got Jesse Lynn from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Jesse, just wanted to bring you in on some of the local talent we have around here.
Yeah.
That one of the things we try to do with this show is give them some exposure.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I appreciate it too.
And on Fridays, Jess, we feature there's so much talent in Green Bay. I know you're from New York where there's a gazillion artists, but here in Green Bay, I think sometimes we're a little bit overshadowed marketing-wise by sports.
Publicity-wise,
But the talent, I mean, we've got some great theaters here.
Yeah.
And a lot of
art and everything.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we got the Art Garage. We have some schools for people to learn. Of course, we have Lawrence. But it's just a great thing. And what we try to do on this show, we try to, you know, help – tell the community about what's all going on here. And one of the things that we really want to feature, and thank you for coming in for this, is this music. I think it's great. Sure. And like we talked about, it's not polka, but you know, it's here. Yeah, and it's and yeah. we need to embrace all people, yeah. all types of music, all types of food. Mm-hmm. I do think food is a great entry into a culture. Yeah, so we got to work a little bit harder on getting some unique recipes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But we respect people like yourself, yeah, JJ, who's stepping outside of the box and trying to create something here in this community.
Yeah, mm-hmm. of course.
And I think that's cool. And that's why I want to bring you two guys together, because mm-hmm. Jesse, new to the community, and you starting something new in the community, right. I think is cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a lot of things that are slept on in the city. Like you said, everything is kind of overshadowed with the sports. But, man, there's a lot of beautiful things as far as art, like you were saying, music-wise, just even, you know, business-wise, too. We can even talk about that. A lot of different businesses that are, you know, going to take the city to the next level.
It's more diverse than paper and the Packers.
Yeah, for sure.
And, yeah, we need those. Those are our staples. That's what got us where we are. But and God bless them for being here. But, boy, there's so much more. And I think we just – I don't know what it is. We get overshadowed on that. I remember when we went to the Super Bowl. They said, I'm going to interview you. And – all I was about was hitting on what you're just talking about, mm-hmm. you know, because everybody knows, you know, church steeples and smokestacks. Well, yeah. we're so much more than that, yeah. you know.
Coal piles.
And coal piles. And I was just going to say coal piles, too. That was something I noticed when I got here. And I was like, what are those in the distance?
We're working on it. We're working on it. Sure.
But I wanted to ask JJ, do you ever feel stifled, like creative-wise, when you're here?
Sometimes, but I feel like that comes with just, you know, maybe staying in the city because, you know, the world is a big place. As far as, you know, we talk about how big, you know, Green Bay can feel mm-hmm. or how small it can feel sometimes.
But right.
you just got to take different experiences from different places and then, you know, use that creative, you know, energy to create more.
Well, I guess what kind of experiences do you draw inspiration on?
It can't be Escanaba.
Yeah, no. basically just, you know, seeing different bigger cities, how, you know, how much people work, how you know, the consistency of people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out to L.A. like, four times
really?
Last year, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Actually went to Ethica, had flew me out,
uh-huh.
The brand Ethica. They were doing like a Let's Get Signed program for $50,000. You know, it's a great like exposure opportunity. I was able to make two great songs there, you know, network with a lot of people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's just taking them little things and coming back and just, you know, instilling that knowledge into other people. So
yeah,
seeing where it goes.
And how about the venues to perform in Green Bay? You talked about the Epic, but that's... Yeah, a little big. Do you think there's big. Enough smaller venues? Like you go to Nashville, right? Broadway mm-hmm. and bar after bar after bar. And well, it's just some great.
Or on Fridays, we've had a lot of like, I don't want to say folk singers, but more whatever kind
two-piece,
of music.
Like,
where they would fit in any bar right, in right. Green Bay versus your home. Right. Yeah.
I mean, we got the Meyer, we got the Rush, we got the Epic, but yep. Widener. Are you seeing enough attraction to small opportunities for the smaller places?
It's kind of like a hit or miss because you always see traction and then it's something that happens. You know, mm. it's kind of like a downfall. But maybe some of that is self-inflicted or it's just like how it happens because it's a small city. But I feel like for the smaller venues, it could be better for sure, especially in Green Bay. It seems like a lot of like the hip hop artists are gravitating towards, you know, Appleton because they have, you know, the College Ave and all that
right.
stuff. So, but, mm-hmm. you know, it could be better. It's growing. It grows with the people. That's what I always think. It's like as much as the music scene is growing here, it has to grow with the people. You know, the younger generation has to grow up, have opportunities to be able to do those type of things, put on events, be able to fail too as well, and then learn from them experiences because
you know,
you can't fail.
I got to tell you, your man Ryan and your student, I think this is great. We've had two artists come in that he's backing.
Yeah.
You mean for you sure. need? I mean, as grassroots, you need people like Ryan.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. But like this is. You know what I'm saying? I can't ask for anything better.
Yeah, because sometimes artists, like doctors, they just are so into their work that they're not into their marketing. And sometimes you got to get somebody who believes in you from the outside to say, look, let me take care of that. And you just keep doing your art.
Exactly. And like a person like myself, I do a lot of stuff like myself as far as cover arts, recording myself from the tracking, the mixing, uh-huh. mastering process. So sometimes, you know, it's a lot of like stuff that slips your mind as far as marketing wise.
Right.
How to get it out there creatively. Different ways to, you know, push your music, push just even like an event, say an event, you have a show coming up, creative ways to push that.
I got to say too, I just want to say this because I was the one who reached out to Ryan. Yeah. There is nobody who works harder than that guy sitting right behind
absolutely.
Jim Schmidt.
Yeah, absolutely.
This guy works sun up to sundown. When I'm complaining about my hours and the people I work with and all that kind of stuff, he's out there grinding every day.
And that's what you need. Somebody like you.
It is.
But now, Jesse, you coming from two of the biggest clubs of music in the world, New York City. I mean, the New York City and Philadelphia, which has a pretty good...
Absolutely.
Tell me about a young band like this who has talent. He wants to make that next step. Tell me what you've seen makes a difference.
Oh, I mean, I'm only a 23-year-old, so I can't give
well,
you
any advice. Well,
you're
right in the wheelhouse there, though. Yeah. I mean, as far as, like, you are the brand, so go ahead.
I mean, from just what I've seen, you know, it does take the dedication of people like JJ and Ryan to just work their butts off every single day, every hour of the day. Like, especially in those bigger markets, you know, you can't sleep, essentially, in order, if you can dream.
Because somebody else isn't.
Exactly.
And they want to take your
Somebody
place.
Somebody else will do what you want to do if you're not going to do it.
And really, there's a little luck in everything, in business. Yeah. But really, the harder you work, the luckier you get. Because all of a sudden, it's going to be like, somebody's going to be at one of your shows, and he's going to be like, oh, that guy's
That's true.
A lot of talent. So you got to, and you guys are young, you got a lot of energy, and I really wish you well. I
hope how old are you?
I'm 27, just turned 27 in July. So.
Young.
Yeah, I'm still there.
Right. This is awesome. Thanks for bringing this to Green Bay. I think this is good for us. It makes our community better. And give us your
You make sure your agent back here. Whenever you're performing someplace, he has to let us know. We'll promote it.
Sure, you guys can pull up, man. I'll show you a good time.
We'd love it.
Right.
We'd love it.
We'd love it.
Best luck to you, JJ. Jessica, you still stick around a little bit more?
Absolutely.
We got more music to talk about. Just so you didn't know you were becoming a new music person.
A new beat for me.
We'll be back after this.
Came and now they proud of me now. Everybody know my name, now they shout me out. You wasn't with me in that rain, head down in the clouds. Tell me what's your motive, I was feeling hopeless. Told them I'ma make my own way, thought I was joking. Chilling with your favorite rapper, you like that song, I probably wrote it. I told that don't break my heart, hop in my bed.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Great having JJ, local musician. We want to promote the heck out of him. Owner of Over East Studios in Green Bay. We want to back him as much as we can. Ben and Dan and Malcor, Bay Area Realty, so awesome having them here. Jake Vandenplas, Door County Farm for Vets, incredible. Jesse Lynn, Green Bay Press Gazette, sitting in with us now because we want to talk about another Green Bay entity. James Baker and Chris Preddy, did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
Preddy. Yep. Is that Finn?
Preddy. No, Italian.
It is Italian.
Yeah.
All right.
Northern Italian.
Which part?
Like right by Trento?
Mine's from Veneto.
Okay.
Yeah, in Belgamo. All right. But Green Blood, you guys, I've been working with you guys, or not working with you guys, but I've followed you guys for at least 10 years, this project you guys are doing. And Jess, I just want to tell you something here. These guys were the forerunners, I guess you would say, on the, and you'd never think of Green Bay being this way, of a punk rock scene that was extremely popular, and these guys are doing a documentary on the history of punk rock in Green Bay.
That's awesome.
So I thought you'd be interested in this.
Yeah. No, absolutely. This is, I mean, just coming to Green Bay, I mean, I think paper.
Yeah.
I think the Packers.
Coal piles.
But why punk rock? How does that even
These guys and are the inventors.
They'll tell you a little bit how quiet it was, or not undercover. What's the word I'm looking
underground?
For? Underground.
Yeah.
That it was.
Yeah. So, you know, like when we set the scene, you know, we look at like beer, cheese, you know, brats, bowling, paper mills, the Packers.
Yep.
And that kind of sets the scene from, you know, like just what was going on when we were kids. And
so what year? Give us years.
So that would be, you know, like mid to late 70s.
Okay.
Yep.
I was awesome. I mean, mid to late 70s, that era. I was phenomenal.
What were you listening to, John, at that time?
WJPD, Ishpeming, Michigan. Yes.
And were you a rock and roller, John, or what type of music?
The country guy. This kind of country guy.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in those days. Yeah. How did you guys get into punk? What gave you the, because, and we talked about this last time. In some ways, you were outcasts because of that, correct?
Yes.
So my best friend in grade school, his mom worked at WAPL Radio.
Oh,
and
the Rockin' Apple.
His dad was a newscaster for the CBS station and did the weather, Burke Luckinbill.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you remember that guy. But anyway, so my best friend Chris, his mom worked at APL, and she would bring him all the promo albums. And we would just sit there. They had a nice stereo. We would just page through the records, like spin everything that looked like, you know, that was interesting, had a decent cover.
Todd's ears just perked up when he heard the term promo albums.
So what jumped out at us was Ramones' Rocket to Russia album and The Clash' London Calling. And we just got really into those couple of records. And then Black Flag came along. I met a guy in, I went to Promontory for ninth grade. And this kid that used to beat me up a lot in grade school wanted to sell me books because he had to buy books at Promontory. And he was in kind of fringe punk rocker. And I lent him my boombox for a motocross thing that he was doing, a race. And he left the tape in there. On one side was the Dickies. On the other side was 999, just a dubbed cassette, you know. No pictures, no idea what it was. And you just hit play, and it's like, wow, this is super interesting. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what these guys look like. I just have a name. That's it.
And you were hooked.
Yeah, and that's like the, you know, then you would go down to, like, Freedom Records was on the corner right down over here in Washington. Washington and Walnut?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Is it a record store?
It was a record store. It's called Freedom Records.
Was it the exclusive company?
And you would walk
remember
in
those,
there.
Remember those, Todd?
You'd literally walk in, and everything was, like, punk was filed under imports. Oh. And so you'd go to the import section, and there was like maybe 15 records in there, and they just all looked so much different than, you know, Foreigner,
everything else you've ever seen,
Foghat or whatever.
So this kid's music is kind of was the impetus to getting you to listen to this. I just hope you stiffed this guy at the end because he beat you up in school.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just one of those, you know, neighborhood, you know, bully types. I went to St. Mary's, you know,
right
over on the east side there. But
was there a turning point where it's like, kind of like we talked a little bit undercover, and Premontre, I don't think they played that music a whole lot. You know,
no.
I was a pretty conservative school. When did it become more mainstream, or isn't it, or didn't it? Or
the funny thing is, like, I went to the Packer game on Sunday with this guy, Carl Kirschling, and he was in my neighborhood, and he was a skateboard guy.
I know Carl.
Yeah, he had a half pipe, and they were, you know, like a year or so older than us, and they had different haircuts, and they were listening to different stuff, but they were kind of scary at that time. Like, Steve Delvoy went to Promontre as well. He's in our film, and he used to walk around with these pointy shoes and, like, tight jeans and, like, a leather jacket. I'm like, man, these guys are, I don't know what to think, but you just sort of.
And his girlfriend on a dog leash, John.
Oh, but that'd be kind of cool being different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's that certain, like, there's that impasse between, oh, you're dorky, weird, and then all of a sudden, the teeter-totter goes the other way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you just start meeting different kids. That was, you know, part of what we're, and you can speak to this, Jim. I mean, you just met kids from different areas of town.
And Jim, we'd talk about that, because we kind of grew up in the same hood, you know, a nice neighborhood, and I don't think punk rock, again, was real big there, but you probably embraced kids that called you and said, look, tell me about this, huh?
Yeah, so going back to your question that Chris didn't answer, Jim. once in a while, he tends to go off on his own rant.
Right.
So you asked when it got bigger. So first of all, I'd like to say that, you know, Chris and I, John, weren't, you know, the initial people that started this. There was guys earlier than us. A whole, you know, we wouldn't say a generation. They were a couple of years older than us. I think Chris covered that a little bit. And we have to give a shout out to all of them. And that was, there's some early bands here. And you'll, you know, anybody that watches a film will find out all about this stuff. But Jim, your question was, when did it kind of take a turn, and when did it kind of the trajectory change on
the trajectory, and then the acceptance, I guess, is what
mainstream. Okay, yeah.
So I would say, like, by the late 80s, and we had mentioned this last time, we were doing shows at Kutzka's Hall. So I was a promoter. We met with Bob Kutzka. He couldn't have been any nicer.
Which I still think is one of the most amazing things. A polka hall out in, what would the community be?
Kind of rural Howard,
just
Howard,
Wisconsin.
Close to Platte.
Polka Place becomes the mecca of punk rock.
Yes.
Wow.
And then we had bands from all over the world coming there. I mean, we had GBH from England that played there. Fugazi from Washington, D.C. There's bands from national and international that came by, like, monthly.
And it just kind of became a place to do it. And when we first started doing shows there, it wasn't hundreds and hundreds. We had to build it up to that.
Sure.
So that's when the trajectory changed. And then when music changed, when I would say around 93 or 94 with Nirvana and some of the
Pearl
other
Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that whole thing, The Offspring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That really kind of, you know, put a microscope under that stuff.
Just go ahead.
I guess I want to ask, like, you're doing this documentary now, and it's decades after, you know, it seems like punk rock is at its height. So why now? Like, why look back with this documentary?
I think just like Jim said, Jim Schmidt said, it's weird because there's two of us, but since Jim said, or he mentioned, you know, that the importance last time you said of Green Bay history, this is a big part of right. what went on that really hasn't been told yet to your average person.
Ed, I hope in your documentary, there's a shout out to Bob for opening up that music hall, because those are visionaries. I don't want to look. I'll go see it. I just think there are certain people in this community that have really opened things up, be it a lot. There's a lot of things you could talk about, the education, waterfront, you name it. But it's like, okay, this group or these two guys really made a difference here and made us a better community. Because you said, like we both said, right? It was a lot of paper and Packers. Yep. But
it opened up doors to a bunch of people that maybe
and I think
didn't
Bob
have an outlet.
Bob was part of that.
Yep. He was. He was a really integral part of letting that happen
right.
there. And as important as the people that went to the shows, the promoters, the bands, if it wasn't for the hall in a venue with somebody that was, you know, he was pretty elderly at the time.
Yeah.
Bartending, mm-hmm. I think, how much was Tappers, Chris? 15 cents a tap?
Yeah, 15 cents or a quarter.
Yeah. How much are they in Philly, Jesse?
You cannot find anything less than 10 bucks.
Right.
So you're right, Jim. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
And, well, yeah, we do give a nice shout out to Bob, but we also, in the course of doing this movie, we tracked down a lot of photos and whatever, and there was a story on the local news about Bob, and a reporter from, I think it was Channel 11, went out, Scott Steele.
Oh my gosh, I worked with Scott. Yeah,
yeah. So we've got that video, and it's great because what you're speaking to is exactly what that news story was about. And the funny thing about that place was, you know, you had the bar, and oftentimes they're just, you know, his regular locals right. that were in there drinking the quarter taps. And then
in an empty room.
Yep. And then the circle jerks are in the other room, you know, blasting away. And there's kids with mohawks and, you know, shaved heads and whatever. And it was just a neat clash of cultures. You didn't really run into too many problems. But, you know, on occasion, like, you know, pickups would pull up outside and want to fight or whatever. But
like in the movies.
Yeah,
exactly. Like Footloose.
I'm so glad you did that. Because it takes leadership, it takes people like you, but it takes people like Bob to really add some diversity to a community.
Absolutely.
And make people uncomfortable. You guys were making people uncomfortable, and you loved it, didn't you? Let's be honest.
It was something that was just happening, and it was we didn't know where this was going to go.
Right.
None of us went, you know, from the early guys to when Chris and I became involved in this in 81, 82, none of us knew exactly where this was going to go. So there's a lot of guys along, you know, a lot of, you know, guys and girls that were really pivotal in making all of this stuff happen, you know, from its beginning.
Well, you know what, though? Music is music. And, like, we had the guy, JJ, vocal musician, into rap and things like that, which Green Bay has never been known for, let's be honest. And he's stepping out, which is what you guys did in the same vein back there in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree? And it takes courage to do that.
Right. And I think another one of our message is in the film is, you know, if you feel like things are boring, there's nothing going on, which we did, you just have to step up and do it.
Exactly. You guys did it.
Otherwise, you can just sit on the couch and complain and, you know, like, oh, there's nothing to do.
And literally, weren't you guys, like, using the old mimeograph, if you want to call it that, or the copy machines, and literally tacking them on light posts or something, right?
Handing flyers out at the mall and trying to get girls to be involved in this job.
Right. If you get the girls, you got the guys. True.
Yep.
Jesse, is that way in D.C.?
That's everywhere.
Okay, thank you.
We have something in common. East Coast, Midwest. I want to ask, like, I understand this documentary, it's taken a while to make. Is that right?
Yes.
What keeps you going? Like, how do you keep going with this?
Would have been easy to drop it and say,
Yeah, I mean, we ran into challenges, you know, mainly because Jim and I have never done a project like this ever. I mean, it was just like, okay, we're going to do this. We bought
I bought a camera at Arts Camera Plus in Milwaukee for like $700, just a Sony Handycam. I got a mic from the Guitar Center for $100. We actually, our first interview, we stopped at Home Depot for some lights. I think we spent like $30 on lights. I mean, this is, you know, what level of technology you're dealing with. So neither one of us can edit. So we were kind of at the mercy, and, you know, we've had some snafus over time, but, you know, people stepped up and we just had to keep it going. I mean, we collected all the material. We collected the stories. We owe it to, you know, just the people involved, because it's just, you know, you want to document it and give it back to the people that experienced
That's awesome.
It. Yeah.
You know, initially we were going to just interview like 15 to 25 people, and we ended up interviewing almost 90.
Wow.
So it became, we took on a lot bigger, larger project than we ever would have imagined, because we went to the times before us and really found out who were the movers and shakers, and what, same question you asked, Jim, like where this came from and who really was the people that started this and how did it happen. Even for us, we didn't know a lot of that.
Right.
Stuff,
so. You didn't know how it was going to end. Yeah, and everything started somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And then everybody's from somewhere, and I think that's cool that you are going to educate the community, or inform the community, I should say, on this whole industry that is very, very popular here in Green Bay. And you help the community, the diversity of the community, get together more, instead of, you know, I think, like you said, maybe you were a little bit out there and maybe weren't, I don't know, respect isn't the right word, but I accepted. And now it's like, I mean, you guys, you're signing the autographs.
Right. So one thing that was a big factor in this scene was, because I'm looking at WGBW, what?
Oh, I'm just giving, he's giving his cue. Never
okay.
mind.
All right. So I was looking at WGBW sign over here, and we had WGBW radio at UW Green Bay.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, speaking of, like, you know, trying to find people that were involved in the early days, so we tracked down some of the early DJs at that station.
Oh, fun.
And, you know, it was like, because you talk to one person, and, you know, like, the Tyrants.
I got a guy.
Yep. So, like, the Tyrants band on the back of their 45 they had, thanks to, and it was a couple of radio DJs, so we turned over some stones, found these guys, and then interviewed them.
Oh, I bet they
that
loved
is
it.
So cool.
We get to a quick break. Stick around. James Baker, Chris Pretty, Green Blah, the history. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Turn his mic on. He wanted to do a radio guy.
Hey, let's hear it.
Go ahead. 7.9, WGBW 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, the best on the Bay. Yeah, we'll get back to you on that, James.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor with James Baker, Chris Pretty from Green Blah, the history of punk rock, along with Jesse Lynn from the Green Bay Press. Because, Jesse, you're getting a little bit of an education here in the history of Green Bay music
scene
today.
I'm learning quite a lot today.
What do you think about these guys?
I mean, the Green Blah is, you know, punk rock. You mentioned that punk rock is something that you just kind of fell.
When you said you were moving to Green Bay, Wisconsin, I bet punk rock never entered your mind at all.
No, I don't know where punk rock came from. And yeah. I'm like, it's something that was before my time. Maybe I'm making myself younger than
you. No, it was.
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah. I mean, it's when I was in 70s, college. I mean, that's right. How far back, in late 70s, early 80s.
Wow.
That's when it started. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what with you guys, with the documentary, where are you at with it now? When's it going to be aired? All these kinds of things. I think people, I can't wait to come and see. I know it was sold out at first and couldn't get a seat, but how's it going now?
It's going great, John. We're very fortunate to have the Tarleton on board. Tarl and Kylie have been great. I know you guys have had them on several times.
Great venue.
There's another Bob right there, what he did with that place and what he's opening it up to. Jazz, you guys, short films, speakers, political things from, you know, left to right. He's helping Green Bay.
Yeah, it's wonderful. They've been so good to us so far, and they really wanted it there, too. You know, cool. It's kind of the same as Bob, like, those guys are, what can we do? We have this film. We looked at venues. They're like, what can we do to have you guys do it here? So it's a good collaboration. So we had the premieres were set for November 1st, November 2nd, Friday and Saturday. And they are sold out, right? Evening, those two sold out. So we added a matinee on Saturday. That one sold out. We added a Sunday matinee. That one sold out.
Wow.
So our plan is...
What are you doing here?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not like we're selling out the Mecca in Moana.
Right. I know. It's a small venue, but it's still pretty cool, though.
Okay, let's continue. I want to write this down.
So. Yeah. And then, so now on December 21st, which is a Saturday, we are working with the Tarleton because a lot of people have reached out to us that aren't able to come back at that right. time. They might live out of town, or so we wanted something available around Christmas when people will be back, albeit the weather might not be cooperative.
Big deal, right? Yeah. Okay, I gotta ask you guys, so because when you start a project, and we've all in the if you're in the media, you've had great ideas, and sometimes they just don't pan out the way you have it in your mind, and it just happens that way. For your expectations versus every show is a sellout after all the blood, sweat, and tears you've put into this. What's the gratification? What's the feeling on the inside? It's got to be good.
Yeah, definitely good. Again, I think I just really want to experience other people's reaction, honestly, because we did put all the blood, sweat, and tears into it, and we spent a lot of time tracking down photos and music and video and talking to people, interviewing people, and you just want to sort of, you know, people were patient with us for the most part, so... You know, you just want them to enjoy it as well.
And as a reminder to people, since everything's sold out till that December 21st is the first day of winter, so it's easy to remember. Yeah. That's when we're going to be at the Tarleton. I'm going to be there. I just, yeah, you guys are entrepreneurial in a big, big way because a lot of time, and I don't know how you finance this project, but, you know, kudos for
whatever. So we did a Kickstarter, and talk about kudos. So we did a Kickstarter, and people stepped up and helped us out, and they bought... You know, at that time, it was going to be a DVD. I mean, that's kind of antiquated now, John.
Yeah, I know.
But now it's going to be a Blu-ray. It's going to be a whole extra disc we're going to put on it because people have waited. And we have chapters that had to be cut out. And we have tons of footage and interesting anecdotal stuff that's going to be in there. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that has been patient. And you asked us what it took to stick with the project. We are very, very happy and enthralled that people stayed with us and, you know, believed in us enough that it would get completed.
That's
so
awesome.
We will have all the merchandise, you know, after the film, like later this year, early next year, all the merchandise and the Blu-ray will be out. And
Jesse, what's Blu-ray?
I don't know what that is.
Could be a digital download too, since too. Things are moving off of
yeah, it'll be streams, but that. The thing is, this is going to be something that you can hold in your hand, and you waited that long, and then if you want to watch bonus sections, you're throwing in at any point.
I got to ask you, though, did you find much old video? Because would it have been film back? I mean,
we have a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the further back you go, the less there is.
Right.
There was a guy who used to come up from Oshkosh. His name was, we had a name for him, Iron Eddie. He was into heavy metal, and he used to bring a VHS camcorder.
The early days, huh?
Yeah, so we did... We do have, like, probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 shows from him. Unfortunately, like, the one that I was looking forward to the most, for whatever reason, we turned the lights off at the venue when the band was playing, so it's just, like, darkness. You see some movement, which is, oh, well, such is life. But, yeah, you're right.
Jesse, what do you think of these guys?
I mean, thank you guys for what you guys are doing to communicate. It seems like people are really responding well.
We're very fortunate that everybody's on board. And one thing I want to say is I'm not going to mention the sponsors because I don't know the etiquette for that, but we've had some wonderful
sponsors. How long have you followed me on radio?
Sponsors. A long time, John.
How many times has the word etiquette ever been used to my shows? This is the first time ever. Go ahead.
Okay. So we have some great sponsors, some from Appleton and a lot from Green Bay. And we reached out to them and asked them to help because we wanted the people that did DIY businesses in Green Bay to be involved and make it a neighborhood thing, and everybody has been so cool. So we have some really interesting things coming out with from some of those sponsors and some
great,
just some cool surprises. I think people will be
again. I go back to when you guys were first starting this, doing the first interviews 10 or 12 years ago.
Yep.
For you guys to have the passion and the whatever you want to call it to stick with it, God bless you.
Yeah, and I just want to say, and that's nice of you to thank your sponsors and participants, but yeah, you know, for a guy that's been in business and raised a little bit of money, they invest in the people, not the product. So it's you two guys that really made this happen. I can't wait to go to this. I think this is going to be very well received and just something else to make us more proud of Green Bay.
I agree. And I got to thank those people that were into that back then. It's like, yeah, dang right we were cool. Right?
Yeah. Thanks for having us on, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Love it.
Love having you guys on. One quick thing. Give me a little cotton candy, cowboy.
Oh, man.
One quick one for my old radio show, Mino and Nick.
Here we go. Happy singing, snapping, finger the chatter room, the motor, truck driving, jukebox playing, coffee drinking, pinball shooting, waitress pinching, girl winking down, punching, country music, run order. You're the new Betsy Ross, flying the new flag of democracy, John.
Mino the mayor! Back in tomorrow morning, Jesse. Thanks for being here, brother.
Thank you, too.
Back tomorrow. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.